The new film, Passing, looks at an age-old issue in the black community. Lighter-skinned black people passing in society as white, hence the title. Tessa Thompson plays Irene or Reenie, who identifies as black and lives in Harlem in the 1920s. Reenie runs into an old friend, Claire, at a restaurant, but doesn't recognize her at first.
Don't you know me? Not really, Reenie.
I'm afraid I can't seem to place. Claire?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Claire, who is played by Ruth Negga, is pretending to be white, yet dearly wants to start up their friendship again. Passing drops on Netflix on Wednesday. It's the creation of English actor, writer, and director Rebecca Hall. She shot the film in black and white. She also adapted the screenplay from the 1929 novel by Nella Larsen. As Hall told Tanya Mosley in a recent conversation, the Nella Larsen book resonated deeply with her own family history.
I read it first 13 years ago, and it was a moment in my life when I was talking more, articulating more, sort of trying to root around more in the mysteries surrounding the maternal side of my family's racial identity. I now know with some certainty that my grandfather was African-American and passed white for most of his life. This was in Detroit, Michigan in the 30s, 40s and 50s. And when I read the book, it was sort of instant kind of understanding of how my grandfather must have fitted into this historical actuality, which prior to reading the book, I didn't have. Like, I read it and I thought, well, of course, that's what was happening here. Of course, this explains why my mother doesn't have access to so much of this stuff and doesn't know her father's relatives and, you know, all this mystery and secrecy around something. It sort of makes sense that that is born out of passing.
It was the beginning of putting together the pieces of the puzzle for your own family. And growing up, you in many ways, maybe it wasn't consciously, but you sort of had a suspicion. You would look at your mother and you would think that there were parts of her that felt like she was a black woman.
Yes, I would often look at her. I mean, you have to sort of put this in context. I was growing up in the English countryside with an American mother. I mean, there was already a sense that she was different anyway, but I would notice that people would use words like exotic to describe her, which I always was slightly uneasy with. But I myself would look at her and think that she looked to me like a black woman. And she did experience incidents of racism when she was a kid, which, as you can imagine, must have been incredibly confusing for her when she'd not been told or given any sense of pride in that identity or even understanding of that identity.
Mm-hmm. Let's listen to a scene from the movie where the character Claire is not only passing for white, she's married a white man who is also racist. And Irene asks her what she's told him about her past.
You know, I haven't had to worry as much as you'd think. They were my aunts, you see. They took me in after father died and gave me a home of sorts. Very white, very respectable, very religious. I met John not long after, and as soon as I turned 18 and legal, we got married and, well, went off and left for good.
And you're happy?
Of course, really. As you say, I have everything I ever wanted.
Hmm. Rebecca, there's also this nod in the movie to the fact that black people are most often able to identify people who are passing, but it's not always the same for white people, as clearly laid out in this film. Mm-hmm. What did this reveal to you about the social construct of race, that a white man couldn't even tell that his wife is black?
Well, I think it sort of reveals how context plays a part in all of this, and also how power plays a part in all these things. You know, part of the creative luxury of shooting in black and white is that it allowed me to, in essence, make that scene oppressively white. Like, the walls are white, the costumes are white, the light is very overexposed coming in from, you know, a practical window, but still sort of almost unnaturally white. And I suppose what I was getting at is this racist man doesn't see them as black because he's dumb or unobservant. It's because he has the power to make the context. And this world, it's his world. It's a white domain. And so he has the power to see what he wants to see. But it was always interesting for me to make sure that the audience sat in a different perspective, which is that they're always seeing them as black. Because, mm-hmm. you know, an audience has a fixed understanding of the identities of Tessa Thompson and Ruth Negga as black women.
I was also struck by the level of restraint of Tessa Thompson and Ruth Negga. So much of the acting was less about their dialogue and instead showed up in their faces and in their bodies. This was an intentional choice, I can imagine. What were you trying to convey in this restraint of emotions?
The touchstone of the book is ambiguity and economy. There is nothing entirely said because these characters, it's not really available to them. It was very important to me because of that sort of sense of economy and ambiguity to never tell the audience what to think. Because I think the more that you engage and bring your own narratives, your own sense of your own identity to this story, the more you get out of it. Like, it works with you. And if you sit back and just take it at, no pun intended, face value, then you don't necessarily get the rewards. But whoever you are, I think, will interact with the movie and you will get something of that out of it. In terms of the restraint of those performances, it's, you know, it's the brilliance of those two actors. They're extraordinary. And certainly I was very aware of catching moments where one of them is looking at the other and the other isn't aware of it. So there are these moments of private observation and scrutiny that reveal things about them. Ultimately, I think the story is about the struggle that any of us have about the person that we think we ought to be and the person that we actually want to be. Like, how much freedom do we have to work out what we even want to be?
This is so powerful, what you're saying. Also, this idea that what you get out of it is based on who you are when you come to the table to actually watch this movie. Mm-hmm. I was very struck by the suppression of other identities, gender and queerness, even motherhood.
Yeah, very much so, yes.
We also see through the character of Irene what depression looks like under the weight of racism and patriarchy. Was that a natural unveiling that came about from shooting the story? Or were there intentional choices made to draw out that part of the story? I'm thinking very specifically about scenes where it was very apparent. But as you said, you didn't make it an overt part of the story. You take from it based on where you are.
Well, it is an overt part of the story. It's just how we shot it wasn't overt, I suppose, is the truth. I mean, the story is, in essence, a woman having a breakdown who isn't even aware that she's having one. So I had to approach it with a certain amount of delicacy. And I think that there is, first and foremost, there is the brilliance of Tessa Thompson. Like, it's an extraordinary performance and a nigh on impossible thing to do with that amount of restraint. And, you know, not being allowed to cry is often a lot harder than crying. But beyond that, there are kind of motifs in the movie that I think undergird visually that sense of crumbling. Like, the house is literally crumbling. You know, there's a crack in the ceiling that looks different to her husband than it does to her. And then she sees it again, it looks even larger. She comes down the stairs and, you know, we see something from her perspective and it looks one way, and then she turns a corner and you allow the audience to see that she's not seeing clearly because actually it looks completely differently. All of these signifiers, I think, are ways of cluing the audience that the person that you think you are trusting, the person whose eyes through which you are seeing the story, is unstable. She's falling apart.
How has your family reacted to the telling of the story passing? Have you all had conversations since your discovery about your own family?
Absolutely. It sparked conversations in on both sides of my family, both my maternal side and paternal. You know, a lot of my relatives in England were sort of surprised. Not that I haven't spoken about it to them. I had, actually. But I suppose all of them were a little, you know, just to see it so clearly laid out on screen, or me talking about it publicly, does generate a different kind of conversation. And certainly with my mother, it's been huge for her. I don't think there was really a way to comfortably talk about all this before. And now there is, I hope, on some level there is.
Passing is a cultural phenomenon that we don't see anymore. But how do you see this film speaking to the moment that we're in right now?
I think, you know, Nella Larsen in 1929, she wasn't even writing so much about racial passing as much as she was writing about how gender, sexuality, motherhood, domesticity, all these things intersect with race. And that was in many ways way, way ahead of its time. And on some level, I think, yes, it was celebrated as a book in 1929, but it was also misaligned. Like, people didn't entirely get it. And as much as it saddens me to be the first person to have adapted this book into a film, I can also see that perhaps we're in a place now where the conversations around these things are more nuanced and are more sophisticated and are more willing to see how all these things overlap. In a sense, you know, she's really, as I think a lot of passing narratives do, they sort of draw attention to the construct of race and the slippery reality of a lot of these categories and the limits of them, and how the truth about being human is that we're messy and we spill out of the confines of being reduced to one single definition.
Rebecca Hall is the writer-director of Passing. Rebecca, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you.
Passing will be available on Netflix on Wednesday.